Cowboy.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And glad you've been with us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. So a lot of talk this morning about the Patriots and this filming incident in Cleveland against the Bengals, in which they filmed the Bengals sidelines. I, for one, am buying the story, but it's really comes down to perception. And I think that's the thing that this story needs to get in perspective, is the perception of the Patriots in these situations doesn't allow the sort of benefit of the doubt we would give other teams. It didn't work for Tom Brady with Deflategate when we know we wouldn't have made a big deal, no matter what the circumstances were, no matter what the game was, if it involved another team, right? And it's not going to work this time around, even though the story is not only plausible, it makes 100% sense. There's no reason to film the sidelines. Hand signals are rarely used anymore. There really isn't any competitive advantage to beat a 1-12 football team like Cincinnati, 1-13, whatever they are. You don't need to do this, and yet people will believe it because the Patriots don't get the benefit of the doubt that they deserve. And that's an organizational situation, right? That's an organizational thing. How they want to handle that is completely up to them, right? You can believe an athlete is a cheater. You can believe an organization is corrupt. You can believe the local college team pays all of its players. Even if there's no evidence for it, and even if there's nothing to substantiate your belief, you can just buy it. You see it all the time in college football rivalries. Well, they must be cheating. Well, show me the evidence. I don't have to. I just know. The Patriots get that all the time. Were they filming in, you know, the sidelines to get a competitive advantage? It doesn't really look like it. There's really no reason to do it. And the story makes sense. There was a film crew. They were filming an advanced scout and showing what that job is as part of a do your job show that they run on in-house media. They accidentally filmed the sideline. They've confiscated that tape. The NFL is going to review that tape, but it doesn't matter what the NFL comes out and says. There are just going to be people over and over again that will believe that the Patriots are doing this kind of thing and probably doing this team thing more times than they are getting caught. And that's too bad, because when you are legitimately innocent of a claim, no matter what your past has always shown, sometimes you're just innocent because that's exactly what you are.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we continue along on a Tuesday. Football and basketball season's in full swing, so get into the game with our exclusive sports betting partners, Bet Online. You've heard me talk about it, so sign up today, receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, and you can start betting college and professional sports. And you can even bet wild proposition bets, like who will win the NBA MVP, every spread, every total, every winner or loser, straight bet, parlay, tease your way through the season. Get the fastest to market odds, updates, and payouts with our new sportsbook partners, BetOnline. Head over to the website today. Use your mobile device. Join and use promo code SBNation55. Receive your 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Last hour, we were talking in the good, the bad, and the dumb about Lane Kiffin getting hired at Ole Miss.
Yay.
And let me tell you, there's been some coaching changes that have gone on in the SEC this year. And now even Florida State in the ACC was looking for a big name coach. They found in Mike Norvell of Memphis, who I think deserves that next step going off from Memphis in the AAC to the ACC and play in Florida State. Arkansas needed a new head coach. Chad Morris, who had come to them from SMU, was a pretty good name at the time, but he failed to deliver any conference wins, and really stagnant Arkansas program that has not been very good, and he could not change it around, even though he had a bevy of quarterbacks that he brought into the Arkansas program. It's just nothing ever clicked. So he lost his job, and they brought in a guy by the name of Sam Pittman. Now, If that name doesn't sound familiar to you, he was the offensive line coach at the University of Georgia, and he's an excellent recruiter, and he's really a good guy. He's got a lot of support from Arkansas players, in which he was an assistant when he was assistant at Arkansas, including those who have gone on to the NFL. Okay, good hire. Great, you know, good football guy. Guy in his 50s, been around a long time, knows how to recruit, looking for the head coaching opportunity, and it's a good fit. He coached at Arkansas. He knows Fayetteville very well. It's a good hire. Is it Lane Kiffin? No. The Missouri Tigers fired Barry Odom, who took over for Gary Pinkel. Four seasons in, Barry Odom, part of the Tiger program, could not do anything there. Mediocre, about a 500 team. Interest in the program was, you know, waning, so they let him go. They did not win their appeal of an NCAA bowl ban, so they went 6-6 and have got nowhere to go. So he gets let go. Eli Drinkwitz is coming in. He was the coach at Appalachian State, where he led the Mountaineers to the Sun Belt Conference title in just 1 year, coaching there. He goes from Boone, North Carolina to Columbia, Missouri in one season. Is he Lane Kiffin? No. Ole Miss needed Lane Kiffin. Ole Miss needed a change of culture. They needed to take the dice and go to the craps table and roll it. If it comes up seven, great. If it comes up the point, great. If it comes up craps, okay, but it's still worth going to the craps table. They could have played it safe, found a guy barely anybody knows, maybe a good guy, maybe a smart football guy, maybe passes all of the tests. Great. But what Ole Miss needed was Lane Kiffin. They needed moxie. There's an old saying about Oxford, Mississippi, that if you were to go there, get knocked over the head, passed out, woken up, told you died and went to heaven, you would believe it. It's that kind of place. They have one of the great traditions of college football in the tailgating on the Grove. They're a program that is deep in the history of the SEC. They needed a shot in the arm, even if that shot in the arm does not work out. They needed a guy that was going to bring being an Ole Miss Rebel back to respectability. Now, I brought up the Tennessee Volunteers when Lane Kiffin 10 years ago was the head coach of the Vols. Why did they feel so betrayed? They felt so betrayed because they all bought in when Lane Kiffin, at the beginning of his tenure in Oxford, stood at the podium and said, "We're going to be seeing Rocky Top when we go down to Gainesville and beat Florida." Now, they didn't go down to Gainesville and beat Florida, but they scared Florida. And that was the Florida of Urban Meyer and Tim Tebow. They scared them enough. Lane Kiffin made being a Volunteer a very proud thing. They had swagger and they believed that they could beat anybody anywhere. Lane went, when we played against Alabama, he told that Nick Saban, reportedly, he told Nick Saban that was the last time they were going to win that game. He had this level of, if I'm your coach, I'm in it with you all the time. I'm so in this that if you don't believe in you, I'll believe in you so much it'll carry over into you. That's what Lane Kiffin does. People still talk fondly in Tennessee, where I live, about the Halloween night game against South Carolina. And it was really brought to attention in a recent article about his 1 year tenure at Tennessee, in which he told the student athletes that he wanted to wear black jerseys. And they said no. The administration said no. But he found a way to do it anyway. Now, what the players didn't know was that the administration acquiesced and they did get the black jerseys approved. But he told them it didn't, and it wasn't approved until the very last minute, when he acted as if he was the rebel with the cause, who are going to dress in all black on Halloween night, beat South Carolina. And they crushed South Carolina. They destroyed them. And they destroyed them because there was such an enthusiasm for what Lane Kiffin was giving those players at that moment. I told you we'd wear those black jerseys. They said no, but I say yes. Now, the players at the time didn't know the administration eventually did say yes. But that's Kiffin, and that's what Ole Miss needs. Sam Pittman is a great coach. He's going to be a great coach. I don't know if he's going to turn Arkansas around, and maybe he has to go back to being an assistant, but he knows football. And it's fine for Arkansas to take a shot there. But Ole Miss didn't need to go down that road. They did not need to find a 55-year-old SEC guy who's being, you know, the defensive coordinator at, you know, Georgia or Tennessee or any place like that. They needed the name. They needed somebody that 4,000 people were going to show up at the airport to welcome. That's Kiffin. Now, we talked about this in The Good, the Bad, and the Dumb, that there's really not a huge body of work that shows that Lane Kiffin on this upper level of college football is a good head coach. Tennessee had them in 1 year, had him a decent record, but he was rebuilding that program. At USC, he did some good things, but eventually not enough. He couldn't keep his job and got fired. Now, he was a coordinator at Alabama, and they liked him enough there, but he went to Florida Atlantic, and that's Conference USA. Can he turn Ole Miss around and lead him to a SEC title game? Who knows? But that's not why they hired Lane Kiffin. They believe that about Lane Kiffin, but I'm telling you, the interest in season tickets is up. 4,000 people, again, showed up at night on a tarmac to welcome him in, and allowed you're not doing that.
Allowed him to kiss their babies.
Allowed him to kiss their babies, and you're not, I'm sorry, this is no offense to Eli Drinkwitz and Sam Pittman, but they're not doing that there.
Nah. His overall record in college, 61-34.
Okay. That's not Nick Saban level.
No.
Right?
That means
continues to get jobs.
It means he's obviously it means he's had a lot of losing seasons.
Sure. But he's also taken over programs where there was talent to win the games you're supposed to win, right? I mean, he basically, like at USC, they you're gonna win some conference games, but you're gonna also win some non-conference games when you add them up. But he at Florida Atlantic, he had success right away, which is great. I mean, it was really great for his resume because again, I thought he was going to stay there 10 seconds before somebody was going to come calling. He needed to rebuild his, you know, reputation. But it just goes to show you that as much as you want the best football and the brightest mind, you also need somebody that drives interest, that really brings the people who are interested in your program again that you may have lost because 4-8, 4-7, 5-7, you know, 6-6 is just not cutting it anymore. You've had enough. And you're tired of giving money, you're tired of buying season tickets, you're tired of tailgating for games in which they're getting demolished. Lane Kiffin doesn't necessarily give you this feeling like you're going to beat Alabama next year or beat Auburn next year. But he does give you a feeling like down the road that if he's as excited to be there, he's going to get his players to be excited to be there. And when he hits the recruiting trail, that's going to bleed out. And here's the other thing. You don't want to lose to Joe Moorhead at Mississippi State. Because Moorhead is a guy that can bring in the local talent to the Bulldogs program. You need to win that state war with recruiting, and Lane Kiffin's going to do that. And he's going to do that. But I've been waiting for this day for a while. I urged Florida State to go get Lane Kiffin. You don't have to even leave the state. Boogie down to Boca and get Lane Kiffin. Mike Norvell is a good coach. He'll be fine. I think it's a fine choice. But again, get your team a boost, a kick up. That's what Kiffin gives you. Whether he gives you the wins or not, yet to be seen. Matt Michelle's going to join us. I'm going to ask his thoughts on that from the Orlando Sentinel. Also get his thoughts on the bowls, the games that are coming up this in the playoffs, all of the college football news. We'll have Matt Michelle. I love having Matt on. He's very, very knowledgeable about the sport. That is coming up in about 18 minutes. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
This is Mike Kirsten. Let's Talk Wheels. We're brought to you by our friends at Jeep. Today I've got a tip that just might keep you from an accident. Winter's here, and many of you are looking for a set of heavy-duty floor mats to keep your interior dry. I remember when you could just throw in some thick rubber mats every winter, and they'd work just fine to protect the carpet. But if you think back just a few years ago, some car companies had throttle pedals sticking wide open because of mats sliding forward and jamming underneath the pedals. A lot of folks were hurt because of this, and now they've made sure that these mats are secured from sliding forward. So look down at your driver's floor mat, and you'll see what I mean. So now if you're going to add any type of mat or rug to protect your carpets from mud and snow, be sure to secure the driver's side so it doesn't get caught up underneath your pedals. And make sure there's plenty of clearance between the pedal and the mat. There are some real good custom floor mats out there that just work great. These have been designed to hold water and mud without getting in the way. This is Mike Herzing, Let's Talk Wheels. We're brought to you by our friends at Jeep. For more tips, you can go to letstalkwheels.com. That's letstalkwheels.com.
This holiday season, Jeep Brand's gift to you is Employee Pricing Plus. That means everyone gets the same price as employees on all qualifying vehicles. So hurry in to the Jeep Big Finish event today. Whether you plan on spending the winter adventuring through the wilderness in a Jeep Cherokee with its 4x4 capability, exploring the city in a luxurious Jeep Grand Cherokee, or seeking the perfect postcard-ready view through Jeep Compass's available panoramic dual-pane sunroof, no matter what your winter holds, you can always make it better in a Jeep SUV. So hurry in to the Jeep Big Finish event to take advantage of Employee Pricing Plus today and end the year with great deals. Offer available on the purchase or lease of a 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee or any new 2019 Jeep Ram vehicle, excluding Wrangler and Grand Cherokee SRT and Trackhawk. Customer responsible for $200 administration fee. Must take retail delivery by 1-2-20. See dealer for details. Jeep as a registered trademark.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, need a last-minute gift? O'Reilly Auto Parts has got you covered. Several options for gifts under $20. Universal backup camera, digital tire gauge. That's pretty cool. 20-in-1 multi-tool, storage containers. You can even get professional quality, low power, power torque tool sets starting at $19.99. And who doesn't love gift cards? You can even buy gifts online. Pick them up at the store. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So you remember we were talking about the Patriots, how, you know, when you get caught doing something shady, even when you do something innocent, it's just a bad reputation that follows you. And that goes for pretty much life in general. If you just, hey, look, if you cheat on your taxes all the time, the one time you do them right, yeah, you might be suspicious. That's following Patrick Reed as he is at the President's Cup. Playing for Team USA. Now, if you don't know what the President's Cup is, if you know what the Ryder Cup is, it is the United States versus Team Europe. If you think of the Ryder Cup as a Oreo cookie, is that like the? Would you say that's the best cookie on the market?
Well,
what's the best cookie in the store?
Real quick, something I read yesterday. Not according to Alex Gold. He does not. He thinks he does not like Oreos.
He does not like Oreos. No. But is the consensus the Oreo is the best cookie?
It's America's favorite cookie.
All right, let's just say that it is. If the Ryder Cup is an Oreo cookie, the President's Cup is like the local brand's cookie sandwich.
Are they Hi-Hos?
Hi-Hos. Hydrox?
Hydrox.
Remember Hydrox? Yeah, that would be the Hydrox. The President's Cup is the Hydrox to the Ryder Cup Oreo. Okay. Here's the weird thing. Whereas the Ryder Cup is the United States versus the best of Europe, meaning that if you're a great Japanese player, you don't play in the Ryder Cup. If you are a great South African golfer like Ernie Els, you don't play in the Ryder Cup. But the President's Cup,
separatist.
Yeah, it is. But the President's Cup is the United States versus the rest of the world.
Ooh.
So if you are a South African golfer, you can play in the President's
Cup.
So why
is that
from
Japan, not the Oreo?
So that should be the Oreo, of but the course. Ryder Cup has got this like deep, history. So they're playing this in Australia, and Tiger Woods is the captain. Patrick Reed is on the Team USA team. Now, last week at the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas, Reed was perceived to have improved his lie in a waste area, but he ended up, it cost him 2 strokes. So he was kind of, I don't know, cheating. He said it was innocent. He says, I didn't mean to do it. It was a mistake. Whatnot. Okay. Here's the problem, though. Here's the problem. This would not be a big story for the Melbourne fans if Reed hadn't already been accused of cheating multiple times, especially when he was in college.
Ooh.
When he was in college at Augusta, at Georgia, he was accused of cheating amongst his teammates. And then when he was at Georgia State, there was also a rumor that he cheated at an event as well. Now, he, of course, denied this, but that's not really the story. I don't care whether he cheated in golf in college. I couldn't care less. But because the golf world has perceived him to have done these things as a young man, and in some cases as a professional, it follows him where he goes. And when a situation like making an innocent mistake costs you 2 strokes, where it's deemed like you improved your lie when you're not supposed to, the Melbourne fans are going to have fun with it. Even Justin Thomas had a little fun with it, and he's his good friend. Even he got some good ribbing from Justin Thomas. But it's just one of those things where that's your reputation, and it stinks. And no matter what you do, you can't seem to escape it. And that's the situation with the Patriots, very much like Patrick Reed. Innocent filming? Yeah. Does the reputation follow him? Yep. That's where it goes to. So, but Tiger Woods is the captain. I'm kind of, I don't pay attention to the President's Cup, but I can't wait till he's the coach of the Ryder Cup.
Well, is this like training?
You know,
if you're going to coach a Division I program, say like Ole Miss.
Right.
You have to get your licks in as an assistant coach first, right?
Right, right. Sure.
And maybe, you know, maybe coach a smaller school in Division One
right.
before you get the SEC.
Before you get the SEC. Is this Tiger Woods' opportunity?
Yeah. So, I mean, if he goes down to Australia and they dominate.
That's right.
You know, and we get Tigers back. Now, is he a player coach? Is he Pete Rose?
No, he's not. He's just a coach.
That's a shame.
See, now, in a couple of years, the Ryder Cup is going to be in the United States this year. I think it's going to be at Whistling Straits in Wisconsin, but I'm not sure. I'll have to look that up. Then the next 2 years later, it'll go back to Europe. And then when it comes back to the United States, it's going to be at Bethpage in New York. And that's where Mickelson should be the coach of the Ryder Cup team. Because New York loves Mickelson. Everybody loves Mickelson. So, and he loves the Ryder Cup. So just a little side note of golf going on in December that the best in the world are in Melbourne, Australia. Oh, Jordan Spieth's not there. He didn't make the team. Isn't that odd?
Yeah.
I thought Spieth would be on these teams forever and ever and ever. And Phil Mickelson isn't on this team either.
Well,
that's
because Tiger doesn't like him.
Tiger doesn't like him, and he's 50. He's getting close. He's getting close to the 50-year
mark. I don't think age has anything to do with it.
God, Phil is weird. He's like now in shape. He's in better shape than I've ever seen him. It's like you're supposed to relax at a certain age, or you go, it is what it is.
Yeah,
I did my running and lifting back in my younger days. Now I'm going to chill.
But, you know, I mean, maybe what they say, like 50 is the new 40.
Is that what it is?
You know, 40 is the new 30.
In my case, is 40 is the new 70s? Is that my case?
No.
I feel tired all the time and I want to sleep.
Nope, go the other way.
I don't want to do anything. My son keeps going, let's go to the gym. I go, I got something to do. So what do you mean you got something to do? I'll find something to do. I don't know.
Catch up on that documentary.
Exactly. Matt Michelle is going to join us in Orlando.
A sleeve of Oreos isn't going to help itself.
Yeah, exactly. It's not supposed to sit on the counter. My wife does this thing every holiday, which drives me nuts because I'm addicted to sweets. I like, you know,
are we all?
She just, every holiday she'll drive around, she'll put these little candy bowls out. And I go, yeah. I know, what are you doing?
We used to. Growing up, that's what my mom always had, like, it was just a big, like, candy bowl of the holiday M&Ms.
Yeah, holiday M&Ms, that's what we have.
You know what? You know how easy it is? Just like, oh, I'll just take, like, four.
Yes! I've gone into it 17 times since you put it out last night.
You walk by it, I'll just grab four.
That's exactly
you
right.
Walk by the other way, I'll just grab four.
It's not good.
That's what it is. I mean, you don't sit there and like, well, let me grab a big heaping handful of M&Ms and sit there and just munch on. No, you just grab a few here and there.
That's
before
right.
Before you know it, you're looking like, hey, honey, what happened to the M&Ms?
Cashing in on those M&Ms. Speaking of cashing in, Steven Strasburg got a big deal from the Nationals.
Yeah, he did.
So Bob Nightingale, who we've had on before, really good baseball guy from USA Today, has really good point in his column that I really want to kind of bring it out because I thought this was a really good way to put it. You remember a couple of years ago in 2012, a couple of years ago, when Strasburg was shut down after Tommy John surgery? Remember they were going to the playoffs and he was on this pitch count? Remember like, no, this, you're not
even
going.
Even in seasons when they weren't making the playoffs, they were like, oh, you're done. It's like middle of August.
Right, exactly. They were shutting him down and whatnot. That he thinks that is one of the reasons that Strasburg, who could have gone anywhere as a free agent, decided to work out a deal with the Nationals because they protected him and made it so that he could have a day like this where he gets a 7-year, $245 million deal.
Interesting.
That they were willing to do that. Like, they didn't say, nah, man, we're paying you to pitch right now. Like, you're cashing checks today. You're going to pitch, and you're going to pitch as much as you possibly can while we pursue a championship. But because the Nationals organization was like, no, we see a large picture here. We see a big picture here that protects us and protects your future, and hopefully those two things will come together, that Strasburg said, yeah, you know what? It is going to come together. I'm going to stay. I'm going to sign with you for a $245 million deal. It's also the reason why, remember we talked about this earlier, how we thought that they were initially reported that the Yankees and Gerrit Cole had reached a deal?
Yeah.
I wonder if Gerrit Cole's people said, let's pull off because we think the Nationals are making their pitch to Strasburg soon.
And that's what all eyes are on now, because if Strasburg gets 7 years, 245, Are we? I'm predicting Garrett Cole's getting Bryce Harper money.
I think so too. It could be close, and I think that Boris pulled back a little bit, going, I know this deal. I'm hearing that deal is getting finalized. Whatever those numbers are, let's pull back and then play off those numbers until we see what some other teams are willing to go. Now that Strasburg's in Washington for that much. Matt Michelle next.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Colbert, here's Tony D.
All right, college football heading into bowl season, the playoffs. Heisman Trophy coming up this weekend. Matt Michel. Oh, on the coaching changes, too, that we've been talking about. Matt Michel, Orlando Sentinel, joining us here on SB Nation AM. How are you, my friend?
Good. How are you doing this morning?
Good, man. Joe Burrow, is he going to win this thing by a record margin? Is that the feeling of the Heisman voters, do you think?
Yeah, I think he probably will be. I mean, I think he's had a pretty solid handle on it throughout the last, month or so. He really hasn't had a disappointing performance. Normally over the last two or three years, you get maybe one or two games where a contender, or a leader in the pack, maybe stumbles a little bit and kind of everyone catches up. I just don't think you're going to see that, and I think you'll see him have a convincing lead going in there and winning it. And there might be one or, I think you might see someone like Jalen Hurts maybe give a little bit of a run just because of the West Coast voters. But I think it's going to be Burrow's all the way.
Yeah. In terms of Burrow, like, give us an idea. What was the feeling about him going into this season? Because I know last year it was, it was LSU quarterback numbers, and now this is something completely different. Was there a feeling like there was a breakout star coming at LSU, or was this a surprise?
I think it's a little bit of a surprise because, when Ed Orgeron hired Joe Brady to come in and be his passing game coordinator, I don't think anyone kind of had a feeling that, Joe Burrow was going to have this kind of season, or even that LSU was going to have, offensively was going to have this kind of season. So you see a guy step in, and all of a sudden he's putting up these dramatic numbers. We knew he was a good quarterback. Obviously, he was drafted highly, signed highly by, Ohio State and Urban Meyer. But I don't think anyone would have thought that, here's a guy who's going to step up and be the leading candidate for the Heisman Trophy. But I think it's one of those cases where a guy in a system just mesh so well. Everything he does, everything that he's been able to do in that system under Joe Brady has just, really helped it out and helped the team out as well. So, it's amazing to think about because I saw him play last year in the Fiesta Bowl against UCF. And I think, here's a guy that you thought maybe had some potential to show some bright signs, but I don't think anyone thought he would throw close to 5,000 yards this year.
So we feel like the committee did the right thing. There's no real controversy over the top four. Had the committee done something, had done well consistently in terms of where these teams were and the perception, so then we got to this point, it all made sense?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, when you look at this year's rankings, I don't think there was much, outside of the last couple of weeks, I don't think there was much debate. I mean, Saturday night, I can't believe that the committee members wouldn't have had a good night's sleep,
right.
Because they knew kind of what was going to happen. I mean, there was no surprise there. I think Ohio State maybe gave them a little bit of pause, when they fell behind to Wisconsin in the first half, but then they stormed back. I think for the first time since about 2016, these rankings kind of fell into place like I think they wanted it to be. I think you look at the rest of the teams after the top four, and I think everyone – really is kind of where they were at. And I wrote about this the other day that, people normally at this time of year are clamoring for expansion. But I don't think anyone's seeing that this year because I think everyone looks at this rankings and says, I think this is good. This is where we expect those teams to be. Yes, there's debate about LSU and Ohio State at 1 and 2. But again, in the big picture of it, I don't necessarily think it matters as much. It's more about just who didn't want to face Clemson when we're talking about these semifinals. And I think, unfortunately, Ohio State got the short straw on that end.
Matt, you're kind of in the belly of the beast when it comes to college football and the powers that be. And there's one thing about college football that I think separates itself from a lot of other sports in that there's something about the sport that really wants to make sure that at the end of the day, the best college football team wins the championship. It's not in some quirky tournament where 68 teams are all playing around and the hottest one gets in. It's not like the NFL where a wild card team can win three on the road and you're the Super Bowl champs and nobody questions it. There's something about want and desiring to make sure that the team hosts the trophy isn't a team that got hot late or anything like that, that they're the best of the best. Will that ever erode to a point where they will feel like, well, maybe we should do eight teams and figure this thing out the way other sports are?
Yeah, I think at some point their expansion is inevitable. I mean, you know, look at the fact how much money the playoff makes right now. I mean, there's been talk about, you know, the next last couple of years, you know, this idea of even more money being made. I mean, I think that is going to happen. I don't know how it will set up. I mean, whether it'll be a 16 or 18, I think at some point there'll be discussions from conferences like the Pac-12, which want to get in. You know, they want to have this idea of, you know, we work really hard as a Power 5 conference. You know, we want to get our champion in as well. And, of course, then there's the Group of 5 issue, you know, where the Group of 5 teams want to get at least a representative on that table. I'm not sure if that's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen soon. I think it's going to happen more later when the actual first contract is up in 2024 and 2025. There is discussion about that. But, again, I'm not sure if this is something that's going to help out. I mean, I've said all along if they expand, I think they should only go to 6, you know, to be honest with you. I mean, I think the more teams you add, one, you add more games, and in the end of that, that means these players have to play longer, and then you have to move the season around, and then you're going to have to, because, you know, these powers that be don't want the football season to blend over into the second semester, you know, the spring semester. So that's the thing that's really hard about all this. You can't just say, sure, let's expand, and then it's a no-brainer. I think there's so much that has to go through that, and I think that's something that they have to sit down and talk about, and they haven't been able to really kind of work out a great deal on that. So I think at this point, they're going to stay at 4 unless something major happens in the next, you know, 3 or 4 years.
All right, let's get to some coaching moves, and the one, the big one, Lane Kiffin going to Ole Miss. Matt, what is it about Lane Kiffin? People are so genuinely excited when he comes to your program, but yet nothing in his past seems to stick with him. He's very Teflon-like.
Very much so. Everyone is enamored with Lane Kiffin.
Absolutely.
Which is crazy to me because, you know, when you look at his coaching record, it's not like this guy has won a national championship as a head coach. You know, it's not like he's, you know, done this amazing job. It's something about the personality. It's something a little bit about the aura, the mystique of Lane Kiffin. You know, I mean, look at the situation at Ole Miss. He shows up, what is it, two nights ago, that he lands on the tarmac and the fans meet him there and they're handing him babies and telling him, buy a burner phone, bro. And I mean, it's almost like a crazed kind of sensation. And I think that, you know, I know Lane Kiffin has probably gotten better over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. I think he's settled down a little bit. I do believe that the time he spent under Nick Saban at Alabama helped him. You know, I think it maybe helped him kind of understand a little bit more what needed to go. But, I mean, to me, until you start to win some games, this will be the big test, I think, at Ole Miss. I think if he can go to Ole Miss and he can win some games and he can show that, you know, maybe that it isn't just a quirky thing, I think then maybe you can see more of that. But everywhere he's gone, it's this crazy feeling of, you know, what's the next job? What's it going to be? Is it going to be an, you know, Power 5 job? Is it going to be a Power 10 program? Is it going to be, you know, and I'm not quite sure how that got to that point. He almost is like a legendary figure in some ways.
It's weird because I live in Nashville, and I know time heals all wounds, but when Jeremy Pruitt was really struggling, people were saying, go get Lane Kiffin again. Like, let's bury the hatchet and bring back Lane Kiffin. And I'm thinking, this guy can't slay the beast here with Lane Kiffin. You can't kill it.
No, and I mean, when Florida State had this opening, you know, people were talking about bringing Florida State up there, and it was, you know, and I remember him thinking to myself, why? I mean, you got rid of Willie Taggart, who at least won some things that, you know, when he was at USF and, you know, had some sort of cachet, and then you look at Lane Kiffin, and it's just the whole idea of just, let's bring him in. I think it was just the buzz factor and the attraction that the players have. You know, he's on social media. He's very active. He does memes. He does, you know, little gifs. I mean, I think he's funny at times, you know, and I think the kids love that. And I mean, not to sound like an old man, but I think the kids really connect to that. And I think that's maybe another reason why some of the boosters and fans at some of these programs are really enamored of bringing him in.
We're talking to Matt Michelle, Orlando Sentinel on college football. Let's go to a coaching change that didn't happen. What is your read on USC and Clay Helton? What was the extension for? Is there a larger issue at play? Are they biding time? Or does he really deserve it?
Well, you know, listen, I think when you that's a weird situation. It's been a weird situation for quite some time. You know, they've had a lot of turnover, not, you know, just at the coaching spots, but, you know, you look at the fact that their athletic director position has been kind of a mess. It's been a dumpster fire for the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. You know, I think the presidency issues at USC are big as well. I think they wanted to stick with Clay Helton. I think if Urban Meyer had knocked on their door and said, I'm very interested in coaching here, Urban Meyer would be the coach at USC.
Right.
I don't think that was the case. I think they couldn't find anyone that really wanted that job. And they're going to stick with Clay Helton, which is unfortunate because, again, you know, nothing to take away from Clay Helton. Clay Helton's got a good record. You look at what he's done. Everyone wants him out the door, but the guy's won over 65% of his games. You know, I mean, it's not like he's a guy that's you know, who's totally, you know, just, you know, a loser when it comes to coaching football. But here's a situation again where Clay Helton's going to start next season, and he's going to be on the hot seat again. I mean, there's no way you can't think he's going to probably be out the door. People will be saying, this will be your last year, this will be your last year. It's unfortunate because it reminds me a little bit of what happens with Gus Malzahn at Auburn. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Gus Malzahn can win 8 or 9 games, and yet the fan base every year wants him out the door. I mean, I think that's going to be the situation with Clay Helton. Until they can find somebody that they really feel like fits the mold, and until maybe the administration, maybe you see some stability in that front, I'm just not sure how this situation is going to rectify itself. The good thing, I guess, for USC is they look across the street to UCLA, and they see Chip Kelly, and they see they're having some struggles there, and they feel like, well, at least we're not falling behind
to our
rivals. So that's why Clay Hill's probably still there.
Matt, this issue comes up every year when we get to bowl season. There'll be players that'll say, that's it, I'm done, I'm not playing in it. There's a tradition to the bowls. Overall, the program does outshine players, but is it a problem for college football as more and more are realizing maybe I don't want to go to wherever to play a bowl game that's on December 27th?
Yeah, I think you're going to see that. I mean, I just think this, as more and more players look to their future and think about the NFL and getting ready, especially those games, the bowl games that are not part of the New Year's Six, you know, or the semifinals, I think they look at things and say, well, you know, why am I going to go out there and possibly, you know, risk injury and be gone, you know, playing in some bowl game that really doesn't matter much more than just getting a win for our team, you know, and a trip somewhere. I think you're going to see some of the bigger players, you know, continue to avoid these games because I think they're saying, you know, I don't want to end up like, you know, north to Tua Tagovailoa, let's say. I don't want to be a guy who's going to, who could risk being out for 6 months. You know, I'm this close to maybe getting to the NFL and having fulfilled my dreams and making some money and helping my family out. Why am I going to risk this going to, you know, play in some game and, you know, not for anywhere, but, you know, just some random bowl game. So you're going to see that again. But I also think, you know, as much as we see 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 of these guys do this every year, I think you talk to some of the kids who are passionate, kids who realize this is their last chance. Seniors who are thinking, you know, I just want to have fun.
Right.
I want to go out there. I think that's still always going to overshadow the small amount of players that decide not to play in these games. But that's just what happens because of the money that's tied in with the NFL and the idea of going there and continuing your football career.
All right. We're not done with college football, but Matt, I really hope we get you on again as we get closer and closer to some of the bowl games at the end of the year. Thank you so much as always.
No problem, thank you. Have a good day.
You got it. Matt Mershell, Orlando Sentinel. Always good having him on. Very knowledgeable, really good about all the little details. This is the time of year where you got blending of everything, right? The bowls, the standings, where we're going, where the playoffs are, who's leaving, who's going, who's staying, et cetera, decisions by players. Like Tua Tagovailoa, who we mentioned earlier, we had a press conference earlier this week to give not really an indication of what he's thinking, but just to kind of give a status of where he is at this moment with his injuries. But we still have a lot of these issues that surround the sport. This is where it all sort of comes together. All right, SB Nation Radio, it's SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Is this Robin Thicke?
Yes.
That's right. That was a hit like a couple of years ago, wasn't it? Big
yep.
Summer hit?
Hey, got him a judging gig on The Masked Singer.
Did it really?
Because I have no idea what he's ever done other than this song.
Right. I barely remembered that he did this song.
Yeah, and he's up there acting like, you know, like he's one of the greatest musicians of all time.
Yeah,
every single
exactly.
time he's judging. But I really watched that for Ken Jeong. He's good. Funny.
He's funny. He's really funny. You're absolutely right. Megan Rapinoe won SI Sports Person of the Year.
What?
Another award? I'm not disappointed she won. I get it. She's a controversial figure that stood up for something. And you know what? Sports Illustrated wants to honor athletes who do something beyond, even if you agree or disagree with her stance on things. They want to go beyond the playing field, right? And I'm not big on... listen, there are a couple of times where a team deserves to win Sports People of the Year, like maybe the Red Sox. I thought the Cubs should have won it in 2016, but it seems like it's a too easy avenue to do it. But here's my thing. I remember when the Sports Illustrated Sports Person of the Year was a huge deal, was a big deal. They had four or five different, this is to show you where the magazine has gone. Four or five different candidates. They would write little articles about them. And, you know, then you'd get the magazine at the end of the year and it would grace the cover. And you'd be like, wow. Sometimes they went with somebody who did have a great year. Tiger Woods was Sports Person of the Year when he won three majors in that one season. Sometimes it was like in 88, it was Athletes Who Care, or 87 or something like that. And it was a bunch of athletes who had done so much charitable work that the magazine needed to recognize them. It really, the criteria changes all the time. Sometimes a team wins. Sometimes two people win. Willie Stargell and Terry Bradshaw won for the city of Pittsburgh because they were champions back in 79. It's been a long history of Sports Illustrated presenting this award. As a longtime magazine subscriber who remembers, you know, basically taking it from my father and when I was a kid and reading it cover to cover, it was always a big deal. It doesn't feel that way anymore. The magazine has gone through considerable changes in how it distributes its product. It's gone through a number of different the website has, you know, been slashed in terms of personnel. It's not the same magazine. The thing was, we live in a culture where we want to know things immediately and we want instant analysis on everything. Sports Illustrated was for years and years, decades, the exact opposite. It didn't give you instant analysis. What it gave you was art. It gave you a beautifully written description of what you already knew had happened. And it's the little details that you didn't know what happened would be embedded into that story. There's a lost art to that in a world of instant gratification. Sports Illustrated one time carried that torch, and I don't think they do anymore.